800-500-5266. That's what Frances did. She called that number. And now you can too. 877-500-5266. You can also contribute online at kboo.fm, or you can come down to 20 Southeast 8th. That's right between Burnside and Ankeny on beautiful scenic Southeast 8th Avenue in Central Portland. However you choose to do it now, my friend. This is your moment. We just have a couple days left of our fall membership drive, and we do need to hear from you. You know, we have a wonderful time here with each other, and that's important because sometimes the news is horrifying, and it's important that we support each other as we bring you this truth, and we need you to support us as we do this work as well. Please do contribute financially. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Your contribution of $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, what you can afford, what you can budget into that monthly entertainment budget or news, consumer budget, you know, please go ahead, budget that and let us know what that is. 877-500-5266.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Mercy Killers, a play presented by Healthcare for All Oregon on Thursday, September 17th at the Alberta Rose Theater. Mercy Killers addresses the measures the main character must take to care for his sick wife. The play is being performed as a benefit for Healthcare for All Oregon, who work for an affordable, comprehensive, publicly funded, high-quality, universal healthcare system serving everyone in Oregon. Again, that's Mercy Killers, Thursday, September 17th at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Oh, mercy, mercy me.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
And this KBOO program has also been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212 in Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Cutie Pock Talk, where we invite you to sit down and listen to what's happening in our queer and trans community in Portland. And I wanted to bring everyone in for an exclusive episode tonight, where we will be re-airing our pilot, just because we had a bunch of kind of feedback from the community about liking it, but then not having the chance to rebroadcast that and get it out to their friends and family. So we thought we would give you a second chance. And also a really big thing about today is that it is the KBOO membership drive, which is something that happens every so often to help support, you know, local shows like us that are community driven, community kind of led. The show on KBOO has been going on for about like 3 months now, which is really phenomenal. I know that Justin and myself have just kind of been like gearing in and like are learning how to do this process. So thank you all for bearing with us. But if you're out there and you want to help support the work of shows like this that are needed in the community for those communities like Cutie Pock Talk, which is the queer and trans community of Portland, then you should definitely join our membership drive and just help support the work.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Cutie Pock Talk, where we invite you to sit down and listen to what's happening in our queer and trans communities of color here in Portland and beyond. My name is Justin McDaniels.
And I'm Darian Jones.
And we are super excited to have you all here for our pilot. A little bit of background on us. I did a lot of work at Oregon State University as an undergrad with social justice work and activism and organizing. And now I do volunteer work outside of my normal paying jobs with places like Queer Intersections Portland, and I work alongside of Basic Rights Oregon with Darian over here. So it's just looking to get involved, and now we have this really awesome opportunity with KBOO to do a social justice and activism talk show with you. So that's about me.
Yeah, and I actually do a lot of community volunteering as well as work in the nonprofit sector for Basic Rights Oregon. I'm also the news editor for PFLAG Portland Black Chapter. I do a little bit of community outreach for Queer Intersections Portland as well. And I also help out on top of the Social Justice Fund, which is a pretty great program. So I'm going to get you guys into the show and kind of let you know what the purpose of this is for you. Our goal is to increase awareness and support for queer and trans communities of color and the intersectionality of these identities in Portland. We are here because these communities are usually marginalized, tokenized, and ostracized within the city. And because the queer and trans residents of the Portland metro area make up one of the city's largest and most dynamic communities, we hope the show will act as a medium for uplifting the narratives of the queer and trans people of color, also known as CutiePoc. And we're usually overlooked, which is kind of an issue. We also would like to provide updates, interviews, and report news pertaining to this demographic, as well as consistent updates of the current judicial, legislative practices, and policies, and their relation and impact on the CutiePoc community. This program will provide a voice to an underrepresented community and act as a bridging resource for information support to the members within the community.
Yeah! We're super excited to be here. And then I guess speaking about our community, we both recently, well, I mean, you participated more in it than I did, but the, what was it, AMP?
AMP was the movement for, like, Black Lives, and it was actually in Ohio this year. It's actually the first year it's ever been kind of orchestrated, which was this huge community building, movement building, workshop convening that we had in Cleveland, Ohio, where there was like over 1,200 attendees. It was from Friday through Saturday this past weekend, which was July 24th through the 26th. So it was a pretty nice time. There was a lot of different things that were going on there. We had like a venue at the Cleveland State University. We also had another event happened at, I think it's called Vault, which is a local little dance area that was really cool. There was a lot of great workshops, though, and I met a lot of people. I got friends inside of Michigan now and, like, Detroit and, like, Oakland, places I've never been. It's pretty legit. So it's really nice. I did a lot of, like, self-discovery and, like, I want to say, like, not necessarily, like, self-checking, but, like, understanding, like, my privileges and, like, what those really look like, as well as, like, the disadvantages other people have. Like, one of the workshops I went to was called Feeling My Feminism, which is kind of like feeling myself, but Feeling My Feminism, and Fighting Femphobia in the Land, which focused on, like, how we are, like, a really patriarchal and, like, masculine society that ignore women and don't actually, like, understand their experience because we overlook it all the time. So for me personally, it was really a nice learning environment to actually, like, teach myself about, like, how I can be, like, less oppressive, which is not something that you actually really have access to because you're not really conscious of that. So it was really nice. It was one of my favorite workshops. Another one that I went to was called Black Minds Matters, which talked about kind of the educational industrial system and how we, like, take out fundings for a lot of underrepresented communities, specifically communities of color. And like, a big thing in that one was that Chicago last year, or 2013, closed 49 schools, which is the largest number of schools in, like, our nation's history that have lost like, status. And so there were only, like, 400 kids lost, which means they don't know what happened to those kids. But it's still that 400 kids lost is, like, one kid is one too many. So that was nice, just, like, understanding a little bit more how that process works. We also had, like, a huge plenary meeting where a few of our queer and gender nonconforming trans sibs took the stage, and they kind of, like, had, like, a nice little call to action for us. And they, like, were basically voicing some things and concerns that they had in the community. And I thought thought that it was pretty phenomenal that a lot of the people who founded and started the convening actually gave them the space to do that and were really receptive to it, as well as a lot of the necessarily like cis and heterosexual people that were in the room as well too were receptive and like affirming. But I think one takeaway from that is that, you know, once we leave that convening, it's kind of easy for us to like clap our hands and like do a fist pump and be like, yeah, yeah, I support you. But if you don't take anything that you learned about, like, you know, not being transphobic, not being homophobic, and not being oppressive back, is that you have to stick up for people when they're not in the room. And that's kind of like the biggest message I think that went out, is like always trying to stick up for your brothers and sisters and your sibs, and just make sure that everyone is represented even when they're not there, because that still matters. And when you're not in the room, like, would you want to be oppressed? It's kind of how I think about it. And so that was a huge takeaway from this weekend, as well as like just being able to be in a space of like Black, queer, and trans, POC. And
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like be like, oh my gosh, I know how to like dance to this song and I don't feel weird. I don't need to explain why I want to dance to it. And the fact that everyone kind of, I didn't have to like do any hand holding and explaining like myself. And it was nice to be comfortable and in a room with people who also kind of identified and shared the similar experience that I did. So it's not something I got out here in Portland. There's like 1200 of us. Like I'd never see that many people like, you know, POC in one place out here. So
well, the most that we've seen, well, I've seen, was before you left and we had
that
gathering.
The AMP workshop, yeah, the Black Caucus for Black Lives Matters. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really empowering, because you were talking about how getting people with the same identities in the same room as you just changes your entire perspective. And it's so true, because you never, I mean, in Portland especially, I mean, we were just talking about this. We went to go get some pizza, and it's just two of us, I'm biracial, but I don't know how you identify. I'm not going to speak for you.
I identify as a Black cis male that is homosexual.
There you go. And I mean, we're two men of color. And I think that we're probably the most Black people that a lot of people have seen on this this evening. I don't know.
I am pretty dark, but people ask me like what I mix with a lot of times, and I'm just like, whoa.
Where are you really from?
Not here. That's really what I want to say. Not here.
Actually, not from here.
But actually,
down a block. I'm down. No. going back to that workshop, yeah, like just how empowering and different that is, especially in Portland.
The AMP weekend was really awesome, which is like a community movement building weekend just like this, but it was put on by the Western State Center alongside PSU and a bunch of other organizations. I'm sipping and dipping out with your lips that you're licking. I got you living and bugging just from my sparkling. I'm sparkling. It's my soda poppy. I just fizzle for a Awesome, and welcome back. I hope that you all are enjoying the pilot as much as I am. Tommy, you know, I kind of was a little nervous on that first episode, so I'm hoping that not everyone can tell as much as I can. But before we take a break, I just want to introduce this awesome song by Booty and Leaf, and it's called Soda. Slave to the rhythm, get emancipated, put the serum in your system. She thinks she a cool cat, but she don't like the water. Step up to my ocean and dip it with the daughters. Be wavy with the waves, make you slave to the rhythm, get emancipated, put the serum in your system.
Hello, this is KBOO's Fall Membership Drive. I'm here with Larry, I'm Ken, and we have a room full of volunteers here, which you could probably hear in the background, waiting to answer your call at 877-500-5266. And we are asking you, during this membership drive, to help support KBOO, programming you listen to, you value, If you're not a member, and I was telling Ani this earlier, it was several years of listening to KBOO, The Grateful Dead Hour, Amy Goodman's Democracy Now!, several other shows. I wasn't a member. I finally felt guilty enough where I ponied up. And so I've been there. So if you've never been a KBOO member, but you've been enjoying our programming, some of you for years, please consider giving now, becoming a member at 877-500-5266. Or you can go online at kboo.fm. Larry, I was saying that the volunteers in the back, we've got some pizza that was just delivered.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to come by and actually drop off your membership contribution, you can come visit us and see where the money's going.
Yeah.
You can give them the directions, Larry? Or?
Yeah, well, we're at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, and so we're right half a block south of Burnside. And anybody's welcome to come by and make a donation if you want to. Occasionally people do, and we give them a little tour. We talk to them, so you're welcome to do that if you like. Some of these people live in the neighborhood, or they want to donate cash or something, so you're welcome to do that. And but most people probably pay with a credit card or a check or a debit card, and we can do that very easily by phone, 877-500-5266, if you want to do that. Some people pay, give a one-time donation. Some people donate monthly, an automatic deduction from their bank account or their credit card monthly. Some people go as low as $5 a month, which is very easy and painless as a monthly donation, or more if you're able to afford it. So if you can afford it, please try to give us a donation. Consider it 877-500-5266.
And in fact, that sustaining membership where you pay a monthly amount, it could be $5 a month for a $60 pledge per year, could be $6.25 a month for $75. It could be $10 a month. That's $120 a year, which really adds up. It's painless because it's taken out of your credit card, your debit card automatically, or through your checking account. Our volunteers can work with you, whatever is most convenient for you. We appreciate any and all contributions when you become a member. 877-500-5266. Or online at
kboo.fm.
The Black Caucus specifically was basically like the only space I've been in Portland that was a closed event for people that were like POC, like specifically Black POC, to actually kind of not convene, but like gather and talk about pertinent issues that are going on. Brianna Gibson, who is someone that leads the Black Lives Matters movement in the Bay Area inside of California, was one of the people that were like facilitating the event. And I think the fact that we watched the kind of takedown from, what was it, the Democratic,
it was something in Arizona about the Democratic, like presidential candidates
for Netroots is what it was, and like Patrice Cullors, who I got a selfie with this weekend.
I'll buy that selfie game.
I will buy it.
Kill myself.
Yeah, they just kind of asked like the new presidential candidates like what they actually feel in like regards to like POC and like our issues and like putting us on the front line and like what's your plan for like dealing with those police brutality,
right?
And like what that looks like,
right?
So
and then I mean going right into police brutality, some really big different updates coming with the Sandra Bland story. It's been really I don't know. I think it's been hard to kind of engage in this kind of material for a lot of reasons. And I think the biggest one is because when you – and I like actually sat down and watched the dash cam video after giving myself some time to like do so. But when you watch that video and you hear how she consistently – yes, she was agitated, but I would have been agitated. You know, but during that encounter, she was asking questions, trying to get reasoning behind her arrest, trying to – use her rights and her voice in a way that complied with the law. And even after all that, even after doing what a normal American citizen can do, she still is dead. Like that part is the scary part. And I think and then like there's this other narrative that's coming out from Black Girl Dangerous that was talking about how, you know, ruling out suicide isn't necessarily something that we could do as well, because I know that for me, if I ran into a situation that was so racially charged like that, I don't know how I would do.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though Sandra Bland was a very educated, very forward-thinking, very progressive, very active member of the community, that doesn't mean that if she was put in that kind of situation that suicide is not an option, which is sad, which is scary. And at the same time, it's like we got to stop giving narratives to these black women that they're like the strong, independent black women that won't get broken by something that could happen to them.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you there. I mean, you can't really rule anything out because, you know, honestly, none of us were there. So I don't think that we actually have the right information or tools to actually kind of decipher everything that's happened.
That it wasn't suspicious? No.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, you know, Sandra was like an outspoken activist in the community. So, I mean, I'm sure that people, this wasn't like the first run-in that maybe she's had with like some sort of negative law enforcement. And then there's also the narrative, like, have you seen Anonymous lately in these photos that kind of make you think things? And I'm just like, Go look at the photos and you might have like a different understanding and like representation of like what's really happened and what's happening. And the fact that this continues to happen in our community. And while we're still on the same subject, you know, this weekend in Ohio on Sunday, I was headed back toward Portland, but I get these texts that are like, if y'all are planning to do some kind of like public demonstration or action, you know, take this number down in case you're like for legal reasons. And then I get these like slur of things on Twitter that basically like, a 14-year-old was like accused of being like drunk, and they were going to be detained and then taken to like some sort of headquarters. But a bunch of the people from the convening, like I think it was like between like 50, maybe 100 is what one of the articles said, kind of gathered around and were trying to like stop them from taking the kid and get their parents involved and actually have like someone who had like legal action there and not have like someone else lost. Because one of the major reasons for this convening being in Cleveland was that, you know, Tamir Rice was shot and killed in Ohio. And so that's like a real thing. And it's the fact that we don't want to lose any more youth in that manner. But then, you know, you just see like the next thing you see is this like great photo of one of the officers pepper spraying people. And this pepper spray is caught on the lens. It's like, it's a beautiful photo, but I think it just demonstrates and articulates what really happens in our community and how it's just like, you know, we can just be like sprayed down and like beaten and just walked over or like locked up for insignificant things when those officers ended up letting the child go like after like an hour and 47 minutes, which I think is a testament to maybe they weren't really inebriated, but I don't really know because I wasn't there again, so I can't really do much than like offer like what I have and the knowledge I have from the information. So
I think an important piece to take away from both Sandra Bland and from that story as well is that it's not limited to like these types of incidents are not limited to the East Coast. They're not limited to the Midwest. Like these kinds of things happen in different capacities all over the country. I know that earlier I was looking for an article that was saying that there have been 13 like murders of people of color in Oregon by police. I mean, I don't really have the article to quote from, but it's just knowing and being aware that these things do happen in different forms. I mean, in Portland especially, you won't find, in my experiences, for me, it's not that you'll find blatant racism. You will find a lot of microaggressions because Portland is very subtle and they like to believe that they're under this like liberal lens of very progressive Portland. And it's like, well, if you actually walk in like downtown Portland as a person of color, you'll notice that a lot of that isn't actually true. But it's just, you know, reaffirming that narrative for everyone.
And, you know, speaking about that and like being a person of color and what you see, there's actually a really great exhibit going on at PSU. I don't know if you actually had a time to see it, where it's this exhibit where you can put on these quote unquote whiteness goggles that kind of hide cultural appropriation and like it kind of like decontextualizes what that actually looks like for people and why like certain people can't see it. So if you haven't seen it, I check it out. It's in, I think, the Lehman. It's like Lyman Gallery in PSU. It's pretty cool. So that's just like
one really interesting, that's for sure.
Llegó la hora de zarpar. He decidido que hoy se marche el barco que no te das ocasiones.
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you all again about maybe joining our membership drive here at KBOO to help fund the local shows that are produced out of this community radio, which is actually 80% of this, the funding that we get for this entire show comes from the community. It's actually the only community-driven show that's been airing for this long. We're 47 years old right now, which is more, it's like double, it's more than double my life, actually. So you'll never guess how old I am. But anyways, I just want to say thank you all for listening and prioritizing the community as well as you have been, and just want to keep the show going. So thank you.
Hey, it's Larry and Ken, and we're back. And we're here to ask you if you would like to make a generous donation to KBOO at by calling here at 877-500-5266 or going to our website at kboo.fm. We have several volunteers here who can help you. You can probably hear the volunteers in the background, as Ken said.
And pizza.
Yeah, so you can donate by credit card or by debit card or by check or whatever you like. You can come in. So, and the it doesn't take long, very easy, very painless, so we can do it in a couple of minutes. The people here are very friendly and perfectly willing to help you. So if you care about KBOO the way I do, I hope you'll consider it if you're able to afford it. Call us at 877-500-5266. So it was kind of like guilt that made you become a member finally, was it, Ken?
It was guilt. I had mentioned that I had listened for several years, a big fan of the Grateful Dead show from noon to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, Amy Goodman's Democracy Now!, and several of the late night shows, some of the radio theater, Larry, that you've appeared on, like Rolf Semperbon's Ubu Hour.
Yeah.
And then some of the late night DJs who do incredible things, Dr. Zom, Daniel with The Outside World, Rich Lindsay. Just incredible programming that you just don't get anywhere else. And I was freeloading, I'll admit it. But then I figured out, you know, KBOO, again, is run on a shoestring budget. It depends for $800,000 a year is the operating budget.
Yeah.
80% of that, Larry, comes from the listeners' contributions, from members.
Yeah.
That's 80%. That's not true with any other media, where most of that money's coming from big corporate interests.
Yeah.
And you could tell, because the stories that they won't cover, or they won't cover them from the same angle that you'll hear on KBOO, because they're beholden to these corporate interests and these very wealthy individuals, the Rupert Murdochs of the world, who owns Fox and just bought National Geographic, the Koch brothers, I think that's the way to pronounce it.
And their advertisers as well.
And the advertisers, yeah, which they depend on. But we depend on you, the listener. So please, give us a call now to become a new member. Don't be a freeloader like me, like I was. I'm not anymore. 877-500-5266. Also, Larry, the people who are listening now, I would assume, are very interested in queer programming. Now, queer programming, KBOO has had that commitment to queer programming for over 40 years. And we do every Tuesday from 6 to 7. This is something new here with these particular shows. In fact, you're hearing the first episode of Cutie Pock Talk with Darian and Justin. That's the third Tuesday of the month. The first Tuesday of the month, we have LGBTQ Art, hosted by Ashley. The second Tuesday, Preference, hosted by Alan Silver. Third Tuesday, Cutie Pock Talk, as you're listening to tonight. And the fourth Tuesday, Bobby, Thomas, and Gordon host Prism PDX. So if programming like this, which is not, you know, just for your average white old woman, old man out there, you know, or somebody who's interested in the Kardashians or the Jenners and things like that, Beyonce. I don't have anything against any of those people, but I don't think they belong in a news program or a public affairs program. Support KBOO.
Yeah. 877-500-5266.
Larry, I want to ask you, because you asked me, how did you get involved with KBOO, and you started to, made that decision to support
the station? Yeah, I moved to Portland 10 years ago. Very quickly, I discovered KBOO Radio. I liked it very much. When my finances got a little better, I started donating money occasionally to KBOO when I could afford it. And then about 2 years ago, finally, I started doing volunteer work here. And I've done a number of different things here. And I've met a lot of people here at the station. And I help out a lot during these pledge drives. I don't do anything weekly anymore. I used to do the front reception desk once a week. I don't do that now. But I help out a lot during the pledge drive in particular. And so it's been a couple of years, and it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot of things, have a lot of fun, met a lot of great people here. So it's been a great experience. And KBOO, I think, is a great resource for the people of Portland, and so I really want to support it. I support it through my volunteer time, basically. And
that's actually a great point. You know, if you're at a point where you don't feel you can do it financially, support us, and you know, any contribution is very much appreciated and very valuable to us, because again, 80% of our operating expenses are coming from you. You can do what Larry did and become a volunteer at KBOO. In fact, there's a number of ways to volunteer. You mentioned the front desk. There's programming. There's coming down during membership drive and answering phones. We have stands that we set up at several of the events around town, where we give out KBOO literature and stickers and things like that, and talk about the station and the programming here. If you're interested in getting a show, you can come down here. You can get trained, which is what I did. I got trained in producing the news, in using the microphone, in editing, audio editing. I mean, stuff that would probably cost you a small fortune on its own in terms of the training you get, but it's all free, and it's all supported by you, the listener. So if this is the kind of thing that you can support, you can kind of get behind the programming, the station, the objective, the station itself, to serve you and the community, give us a call now to become a new member or renew your membership, 877-500-5266. Or Larry online.
At kboo.fm.
And now back to Cutie Pock Talk.
Corporate media got you feeling blue. Listen up, we got an answer for you. Starts with a K, it ends with a boo. KBOO, so what you gonna do? We got your music, your news, we speak truth to power. In touch with your community each hour by the hour. 24-7, every day of the year. Since 1968, KBOO has been here. We're all independent, no ads, no corporate bucks. We're not afraid to say that this government sucks. KBOO's your station for freedom of speech. 99% all for one and one for each. Come on, jump in, this is your station too. Call now, become a member, you know what to do. It's time to support your station, KBOO, 503-232-8818, and watch this movement accelerate.
Thank you to the restaurants that have provided food for our volunteers today. Junior's Cafe, located at 1742 Southeast 12th Avenue, provided breakfast, serving breakfast every day starting at 8 with vegan and gluten-free options. Voodoo Donuts, located at 1501 Northeast Davis, where the magic is in the hole. Little River Cafe, located at 0315 Southwest Montgomery, provided lunch along the west bank of the Willamette River, serving breakfast, sandwiches, salads, and burgers. Eat Pizza, located at 2037 Southwest Morrison, provided dinner, a family-owned pizzeria serving pies as well as other casual fare.
You can still look at like other national issues that we have going on, such as...
Oh, the Confederate flag thing was a big... I know a while ago with... Bree Newsom. I'm speaking about people like women of color that are doing amazing things.
I saw that was powerful.
Bree Newsom doing some amazing work, like taking upon herself to take down the flag in front of the Capitol building and get in trouble with the law for that, and then just like the kind of like response that kind of garnered. But that was a interesting story to watch unfold.
Well, I think it's interesting watching it kind of start there, and then how it's kind of gone to separate like media outlets and stuff, and then you even have like John Oliver talking about it, and like offering like mascots to like high schools, but they changed their like kind of like anti POC and like some like subtly racist mascots in their schools. And then you have to look at like Mississippi, whose like state flag is the Confederate flag,
right.
And I'm from Mississippi, so I can like talk about it. So I'm just like
yeah, permission.
Needs to be changed. Like, yeah. Automatic permission.
Well, and again, like that whole thing about how this relates back to Portland. Like, I grew up in Canby, which is a small town close to Wilsonville, and there was this truck that's very notorious for flying the Confederate flag in my town. And as a high schooler,
walking home from school and it's you see safe. This truck, it calls out the question, like, am I safe? Am I safe in my own town? And then you see, like, this big debacle come up with the Confederate flag in front of the Capitol building and how people are defending it for its heritage, where that heritage is steeped in the defense of slavery as a system of economic sustainment for the South. Like, that, and plus a bunch of other things. But it's just so interesting seeing how people quickly step up for something as a heritage aspect, but then again, that privilege of not being a person of color and looking at that flag and being like, wow, that person could probably be racist, or I could probably get hurt by this person, or something like that.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, like, understanding your privilege and, like, oppression, which not a lot of people have necessarily, like, the right lens to do, and kind of giving them the tools to work with seems to be, like, a really difficult thing out here. And just people actually being receptive of that information. Which kind of brings us back into what we were talking about earlier with police brutality. And some regional news that we have out here recently in Oregon is the passing of HB 2002, which is the ending profiling bill. Whoop, whoop! Which it's a big push out here for us, especially like POC and Cutie Poc, people who are usually profiled on our like expression, like self-expression and just existing in a space. And, you know, this bill gives a legal definition to what profiling is, and then it prohibits law enforcement from relying upon a person's age, race, ethnicity, color, national origin, language, gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, political affiliation, religion, homelessness, or like mental disability in certain circumstances to kind of profile and detain them for no reason. And it also gives the Attorney General a legal means of taking action against them once a certain complaints have been filed. So if you're part of like a police district who has like 1,700 complaints against you from POC, you might be in trouble. So
some accountability comes into play. And I think it's important too, because there was a lot of stories in the nation talking about how police forces, when they go through a training program, they rely on a lot of stereotypes and there are preconceived notions of people who are like people of color, and they use that during their training. So that just like reinstills that narrative of what they're supposed to be looking for and what kind of stereotypes they're on the lookout for. So this kind of provides a really good safeguard for people who will fall victim to a lot of discrimination based on profiling. And this gives a lot of breathing space for people who might be like traveling in Portland and be run into the police and have some sort of legal means to live. And
I mean, I think if the police know we're coming for them, they might want to stop doing what they're doing and stop attacking people.
Stop doing that.
Stop the brutality.
And then going off of criminalization and whatnot, talking about House Bill 3025, talking about the banning the box, which is getting rid of on-job applications. A lot of the time there'll be a question that says, check here if you have a criminal history or if you've been convicted of a crime. And that passed, which means that employers can't actively search out for applicants that – and, like, get rid of applicants that have checked that box, which gives a lot of accessibility for people that have a criminal background to re-enter the career field. And as I was being taught by – I'm sure it was you that box doesn't ask for what kind of crime people were being accounted for.
It's usually just, like, a broad little box that says, have you been convicted? Which, right. You know, was that littering? Because that could be a conviction, which I think takes a lot of people out of the running from access to a certain...
And you have to check yes. And that's a lot of barrier to entry for a lot of people. And I think another important thing that needs to be talked about with this bill is that when people re-enter the job field, they have a lower chance of staying in... that like prison system of when they get convicted, they go back out to the real world and they do another crime because they can't find anything to sustain themselves. So this stops that kind of vicious cycle for people like that, which is awesome. Getting people to actively engage in like their own lives and get their own earnings and actively participate with the people around them.
Is that recidivism?
Yes, yeah. Recidivism.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And then, you know, something else I think that gives access to out here for a lot of Oregonians is the paid sick leave, which is Senate Bill 454, which is kind of phenomenal out here because now you are guaranteed 40 hours of sick leave a year, which gives access to a lot of like working class families, a lot of like our Cutie Pot community specifically, who usually work maybe like 60 hours a week at some job where they're making
four
like,
jobs,
you know, like less than anything. That's not a lot.
Right.
Ability to take, you know, a day for themselves, like if they're actually sick, because a lot of people come to work with those like sicknesses and illnesses and they actually can't even work. And for us as CutiePoc people in Portland, I know that sometimes I just need a mental health day where I just need to be like, I need to not be around this thing that is stressing me out where I can't even complete my job.
Right.
And, you know, the constant anxiety from that.
Well, there's that YouTube video of this woman of color who she's thinking of excuses to get out of work, and she's just using her lived experiences as an excuse. Like, you know, I can't come into the office today. I'm experiencing a lot of depression from the patriarchy and systems of hierarchical racism, and I really can't come into the office.
Life in America.
I can't look at Steve today, okay?
Oh, gosh.
Steve is really just pushing my buttons, okay?
Sometimes, you know, they don't even know what they're doing.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's making sure they do. Y abrir las manos y soñar hacia un nuevo episodio. Solo basta imaginarlo entero. La rutina me invita a caer, a formar parte de un rebaño crucial. Y aunque la ignore, no se va. Ser parte de mí también a la vez. Hey, welcome back, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you again for joining us and the re-airing of our pilot. I hope that you have enjoyed listening to all the things I wish I could have changed just as much as I have. again, this is the membership drive for KBOO. So if you are able and you want to support the growth of the KBOO family and keep local shows like Cutie Pock Talk going on your local radio / national radio, then you should definitely help us by joining the membership drive.
Oh, thanks, Darren and Justin, and congratulations on your first episode of Cutie Pock Talk, which you'll hear on KBOO Community Radio the third Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock. I'm Ken. I'm here with Larry.
Hi.
We're here for the fall membership drive for KBOO. Our goal, Larry, for the drive is $95,000. And when I left the house today about 3 o'clock, we were more than halfway there, so we're doing pretty good, but we still need your support. Give us a call to become a new member or to renew your membership, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And Larry, at the break, we were talking about the diversity of the station.
Right. You know, we have programs for many different parts of the community. And for example, this program is for one community, but there's also, say, like a program I admire quite a lot is Prison Pipeline, which is for families of people who are in prison and, you know, talking about their needs, their concerns, their problems. Where else would you ever see anything like that? Especially in a society like ours that seems to demonize prisoners rather than think of them as parts of our community.
Yeah, I've listened to the show. I've learned a lot. And again, it's hard to get programming like that on any other outlet.
Yeah. I mean, there's a tremendous diversity. The diversity within the music scene, too. I mean, many different types of music you will hear all week long on KBOO. And the music scene here is great. And then we also have programs that are for many different people in the community.
There's a Jewish hour on Sunday, a Palestinian hour, a Persian hour. It's just incredible. What I usually tell people when I tell them about KBOO is it's so diverse that chances are one single person is not going to enjoy every single thing that we play on KBOO. However, I can't imagine anybody who wouldn't enjoy at least a few of the programs.
And you end up learning a lot, and it's sort of mind-opening. You know, you you can really learn a lot. It's just, we've got a lot of great, I love the talk shows, the political talk shows. That's kind of my favorite.
Positively Revolting on Friday mornings with Ani and Lynn. But Larry, I just want to give them the number. We're going to go back to our regular programming real soon. Give us a call to become a new member or to renew your membership, 877-500-5266. Or please go online if you like, kboo.fm.
Continuing off of, you know, all of these regional like accomplishments that we have out here, we now have like making savings for retirement easier. That's what the name of the bill is, which is known as House Bill 2960, which provides a way for Oregonians to have a safe and easy and effective retirement savings. So it adds like an extra line on your, like, I think your pay stub, so that you can have like a certain amount go to it. So you can actually start saving, which not a lot of people even know about or think about at all. So it's another way to cut down access or cut down barriers to access for people.
There you go.
Yeah. And give them like tools to actually do things and be, hey, I want to save like $5 and see what that turns into at the end of the year, which can turn into a lot.
Exactly.
And then tapering off of that, we can talk about something that happened back in May, which was the ending of conversion therapy in Oregon. Yeah.
More progress.
Yeah, right? Which effectively like bans licensed professionals from performing like a gender, sexual orientation, like identity change on youth under the age of 18. Like, you can still electively do it if you're like an adult, but it stops those harmful practices from happening to anyone that's under the age of 18. Because as we know from the story of the national kind of death of like Layla.
It was Layla Acorn. I believe she was a trans girl who she took her own life. But I think one of the most powerful things that came from that is that she said in her note that she wanted her death to mean something, and that pushed momentum to have conversion therapy brought up at the national level. Obama even talked about it, which was incredible. So when people talk about quote-unquote slacktivism, which is where people just do a lot of activism through social media and they don't think that that provides a lot of progress for people, it actually does. And it gives a lot of people space and access to participate in activism, which is awesome. So it's really good to see not only the nation talking about this kind of thing, but Oregon actually taking progressive steps to ending conversion therapy, because that's harmful. So it's really great to see that kind of practice in our state and see more progress in that regard. But other than that, going out from the regional news here, there's some events that you want to talk about that were happening here in town.
Yeah, there's a few of kind of like really awesome events. I know I mentioned earlier the gallery showing at the Littman and White Gallery at Portland State University. It's called IN and then // inappropriate, which is the exhibit that'll actually show you like what cultural appropriation looks like if you're not POC. So you can maybe go in and say like, what don't I see when I'm looking at this? And then if you're a POC, you can go and see what they see, which is like, so chill.
It's like physical privilege right there for you.
Right. And you can grasp. It's like tangible. And I know that's continuing until tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the 29th. So you still have a chance to check that out. And then another event that is going on out here that's really big is And Basic Rights Oregon is hosting a forum this Thursday known as the Trans Healthcare Forum. It's going to be held at the George C. Hoffman Hall of Portland State University. It's a forum that will provide an overview of the current healthcare benefits out here that are offered in Oregon, provide policy updates, navigation tips for community members, and ways to access that healthcare. Because I know a big thing out here is that a lot of people don't actually know of what benefits they have access to, what's even covered in your plans. So it actually goes through, I think, like 7 different providing options, which are like uninsured, uninsured, private healthcare insurance, Medicaid, Medicare. It covers an entire like spectrum of like benefits that people have access to. So if you're someone that maybe is going to want to know more about it or just like come to get info for other people, you should do it. And again, it's going to be at the Hoffman Hall, George C. Hoffman Hall, for exact reasons, of Portland State University. The doors open at 6 p.m. Program starts at 6:30. Should go until 8:30. There'll be refreshments, which are food and like beverages for people. No alcohol. And yeah, so that's really cool. And then Also, another thing, too, that I know we want to do is actually get more community updates about things that are going on outside of Portland, because a big thing for us, I know, is that a lot of our QDPOC family lives outside of Portland, and they're in, like, a bunch of marginalized rural areas. And so I want to personally look for some updates for y'all, too. So if you have something that maybe, like, a space that you live in and you want to know what's near you, or, like, want to get some things, like, publicized, like, please send them to KBOO, and they'll get them forwarded to us. And so that's, yeah, that's...
Because reflecting on back on what we talked about earlier, that getting that space where you can identify with people that have identities like you is really important. So if you don't live in the Portland area, or live in an area or a situation where you can't get to Portland or can't get access to these events, but you want to be a part of those events, just let us know and we'll do our best for you, because we know how powerful that can be.
Yeah, and having people that you feel like you can rely on and that want to spread the wealth and spread the knowledge is a good way to do it. So I guess in that, we kind of got to get ready to close here, which is really sad because this has been a really awesome time. It's a great pilot.
Great pilot. Good first time, everyone.
Yay! So, again, this is QDPOC Talk, where we invite you to sit down and listen
next time.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for bearing through this, like, pilot episode with me, because I feel like every time I listen to it, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I could have changed this, and I could have said that, and I could have done that, and this and that, and all kinds of things, but I didn't. So, again, you know, this is our membership drive, and if you're able to and you want to keep the show going and get more shows like this on the radio, then please join us at KBOO and join the membership drive and help us grow as much as we want to, because we would love to bring more coverage to you and more entertainment. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this last song.
Here because KBOO's having its fundraiser now, and we encourage you to call and make a donation if you're able to at 877-500-5266 or our website kboo.fm. Now, KBOO has a lot of really good programs on. We've been enjoying this program. Next is going to be Hard Knock Radio. I mean, some Hard Knock Radio is produced elsewhere. The majority of the programs that KBOO airs are actually produced here in this station. And we have a wide variety of programs, and if you support that the way Ken and I do, then consider making a donation, 877-500-5266.
And Larry, I'd said before that I was what I would call a freeloader for for several years before deciding to support KABU with money and volunteering here. And I came in just a little at a time. There was some programming I liked. I had mentioned The Grateful Dead, Democracy Now!, several other shows. I enjoy a whole lot more now. And I went for a few years without donating, but it's very simple to do, and you feel so much better. One thing we've said again and again during this membership drive is when you donate, you're basically an owner, a co-owner of the station. Again, 80% of our operating expenses, which are $800,000 a year, which is a mere pittance for most media, 80% of that comes from you, the listener, from your membership money. And so you're basically a co-owner of the station. You have a lot of rights here. You can run for the board. You can
vote for the board.
Programming. Try that with KGW or Fox or Fox 12, yeah, or one of those other stations, or yeah, or the Oregonian. You'll walk in there and say, you know, I've bought your product and here's a little money. I'm going to give you $20 a month and I'd like to influence the kind of stories you do. It's not going to happen, but it can happen at KABU. If you give us a call now, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm. In fact, if you go online, there's a tip jar in the upper right. Click on that. It will guide you through the process. 40% of our members now are sustaining members, so they give a monthly amount, Larry, and that could be any amount. We worked out the math. $10 a month, $120, $750 a month, $90 a year really adds up. $625 a month hardly seems like any money at all, but that's $75 a year, which is extremely valuable.
And a lot of people are doing just that. I mean, you don't have a lot of money, but you want to donate. A small amount like that is a great idea, and it's easy to give because it's a small amount, but lots of people do it, so it really like adds up altogether. And the thing you were saying about how we're on a shoestring budget, it's kind of like, you know, you give a dollar, it goes so we really stretch it far because most of the work here is done by volunteers. And so we keep costs really very low. We own the building already, fortunately. And so
in kind of what's become a hip section of town here on East Burnside, Southeast States and Burnside. What I'd also like you to do, Larry had mentioned our shoestring budget. Come on down and see where your money's going. If you'd like, you could just take a tour of the studio. You don't have to decide to give right away, but if you'd like to drop off your contribution in person, it's very, very welcome. 20 Southeast 8th, that's where we're located. We're just a half block south of Burnside on Southeast 8th. And again, in what's wasn't a very hip section of town, say 20, 30 years ago, but
no,
seems to be now, East Burnside.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I started volunteering here at KABU, all the cool stuff going on in this neighborhood, actually.
Yes, we're very lucky to own the building, so we've got that all covered. So basically, you know, $800,000 a year puts us on the air, and that's about $90 for 1 hour of programming. So if you pledge, say, today, $90, that's $7.50 a month, $1.73 a week, 25 cents a day. Just 25 cents a day. I used to spend that more on gumballs when I was a kid. And that keeps us going. That actually will buy you, you're sponsoring an hour of programming on KABU.
Yeah.
Any program you want, Democracy Now!, Hard Knock Radio.
In a way that's very cheap, you know, compared to other media, like
definitely.
You say.
So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm. And that sustaining membership, Larry, it's a credit card.
Yeah,
debit card,
or check, or come in and pay cash, or anything else you can think of. And some people do a one-time donation. Sometimes they do a monthly donation, whatever you like.
Yeah, in fact, just give us a call. We have volunteers here who are experts, and they can guide you through the process. They can ask you exactly what you can afford and how you'd like to give through sustaining membership, one-time amount, whatever you like. 877-500-5266.
Can't roller skate in the Buffalo Herd. Can't roller skate in the Buffalo Herd. You can't roller skate in the Buffalo Herd. But you can
be happy if you've mind to.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, hosted Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at Bison Coffee House in Portland. The event will feature stories and songs about the last wild buffalo and information about the ongoing struggle to protect them. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, Wednesday, September 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You can't roller skate the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate the buffalo herd.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project on Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. 12 of Portland's poetry ambassadors will compete to become the Portland Youth Poet Laureate. The event will take place in the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. Again, that's Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project, a program of Spit Right, Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Thank you to the restaurants that have provided food for our volunteers today. Junior's Cafe, located at 1742 Southeast 12th Avenue, provided breakfast, serving breakfast every day starting at 8 with vegan and gluten-free options. Voodoo Donuts, located at 1501 Northeast Davis, where the magic is in the hole. Little River Cafe, located at 0315 Southwest Montgomery, provided lunch along the west bank of the Willamette River, serving breakfast, sandwiches, salads, and burgers. Eat Pizza, located at 2037 Southwest Morrison, provided dinner, a family-owned pizzeria serving pies as well as other casual fare.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, also heard on the web at www.kboo.fm. The time is 6:59. Tonight we're going to listen to a special speech by Julian Bond, who passed away August 2015. We will hear from original series of the Pacifica Radio Archive, Voices of Pacifica. And again, we'll hear from the late Julian Bond, who passed away earlier of 2015. He gave a speech entitled African Americans and the Civil Rights Movement, a Reprisal. Dr. Julian Bond examines the history of the civil rights movement, economic justice, and affirmative action. This talk by Dr. Julian Bond was recorded on February 3rd, 1997 at Coppin State College in Baltimore, Maryland. Stay tuned. Julian Bond was born in Nashville, Tennessee, in January of 1940. His